afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of America's Most Unwanted and the People That Find Them, our weekly look into the world of bail bonds and maybe just a little bit of bounty hunting. Joining me on the program is William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, good to talk to you again.
Good to be able to talk to you again.
and his henchman, his his co-conspirator, Matthew Todd. Matt, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Simon. It's a pleasure.
Now, let's start with a story that I found most amusing this morning. Cobra, I understand you got rudely awakened by some potentially grumpy policemen.
Oh, yeah. Buddy, I'll tell you what. It's all Todd's fault. But it's his damn fault. Well, here's what happens when you spend as much time on the road as we do tracking the undesirables and America's most unwanted. We finally took off 2 days, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and we had to travel to various parts of the state and spend some time with our loved ones. And then immediately Friday morning, we were back on it again. And I drove like 7 hours yesterday just to get back on point with Todd hunting this fugitive, Mr. Wilkinson, Bruce Wilkinson. So, you know, we arrived in town late last night, and we started setting up our traps, and some of the folks were still partying. So we had to wait, and we set alarms for 3:30, so I figured, what the hell? We'll pull over in the hotel parking lot that we normally would stay in if we were going to go sleep. But since we had to be back at it in an hour and a half, we decided we would just sit in the truck. We were probably sitting there about 5 minutes when this car pulls into the parking lot, crashes into a gate, and then sits there with the foot on the brake. So we don't think anything of it. It's 15 feet away from us, and we're waiting to see if anybody gets out of the car. 45 minutes into the deal, nobody gets out of the car. And somewhere in that period of time, I fall asleep. But before I fall asleep, I have managed to take my 9mm out of the holster and put it on my lap, covered with a towel. I've got an Uzi 9mm beside me with about 300 rounds of ammunition. And, of course, Todd is he's armed to the teeth. And, you know, I didn't know I was going to go to sleep. So we're sleeping like little babies, apparently. And the next thing I see here, I see stuff and I hear stuff. Freeze, don't move, motherfucker. I'm like, oh, shit. So I look at Todd, who when I went to sleep was a black feller. Now he's a white feller with measles. He's got little red dots all over him. And then I realize these are aiming points for frickin' guns. How many damn guns? Holy shit. We got 10 police officers, and they're telling me, you know, my hands are up on the ceiling, so are Todd's. Don't move. Don't fucking move. I'm like, I'm not moving, dude. And I did squeeze off the park. I was a bondsman, which the guy said, you are? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, we'll clear that in a minute. But first of all, he starts taking all my guns away from me, and he takes all Todd's guns. And then they politely take us out of the vehicle and they search us. Not a very good way to wake up, Simon. I'm just letting you know we were cranky and spanky, but I'll tell you, we were scared to death to go back to sleep after that. I'll tell you what, that's like getting your ass whooped by your mom when you did something bad. We weren't going back to sleep. Oh, hell no. So we went on back to setting up our trap lines, and at 4:30 they were still partying, so we ended up getting them hooked up at 5:30, and that's what we're doing now. We're out running the trap lines to see if anybody's triggered anything. And we got remote cameras, and we got trap lines. We got all kinds of stuff going on out here today. Beautiful. I would just be glad to catch up to this old boy, and then we could go get some really decent and well-needed sleep. That's what we could do.
Now, the gentleman you're looking for, would that be Mr. Wilkinson?
That's Mr. Bruce Wilkinson himself. Yes, he's another one of those guys.
just for the benefit of people that don't know the story, what has Bruce done?
Bruce has failed to appear more times than most people went to elementary school, and he has about 30 warrants, and he defrauded our company, Palmetto Insurance, out of about $35,000, and actually 42, but who's counting? And he just decided he wasn't going to go to court. He was just going to go have a good time on our expense, and we paid the bond. And he's out here flapping around in the breeze. And, you know, people were saying he was in New Jersey and he's here, he's there. I mean, holy shit. They call him the gingerbread boy because he's gone over here, gone over there. Yeah. He doesn't like his performance.
You know, I'm not looking for any secrets here. You know, someone like Bruce, you know, he just does a moonlight. Where on earth do you start on trying to locate someone like that?
Well, in this case, you know, you bring up a good question. We had no file. The only thing we had on the guy was a name and a place where he started from, you know, which was Pasco County. That's all we had. We were never given a file or anything. In fact, the name, I think, was spelled wrong, but we started running some information on him. And one of the first things, and with really no real secrets, is you want to know who his family members are. And we started doing some look around his family members to see if, you know, it's possible that he'd be hanging out with them. And so that's where it all began. And what got us into this mess this time is typically I have a fully marked canine unit accompanied by my dog Ranger, who doesn't sleep, who would not allow anyone to sneak up on us ever, never, never. But in this particular trip, since we have so many houses that we're looking at, rather than do what you see them doing on TV where they're going around kicking in every door and, you know, and there's some innocent people involved in this stuff, too. So you can't just go kicking in every door. So what we did is we went and got us an old pickup truck and a ladder and some tar. And we're a roofing company, man. We got hard hats on. We're professional roofers. That's what we do. So when we track them to one of these locations, of course, we need to know who's inside the house. So for the holidays, we're offering free roof inspections. And, of course, you know, if they've got any leaks inside the house, it would be nice for us to, you know, look at that and see. So we're getting, you know, come on in. Come on in and see what we got. I got this big leak in the hole. You got a bad leak. I'm going to call your landlord, tell them they're going to have to send a whole crew out here. We're not set up to handle something this huge. And, of course, we write that off the list. That's another one that he's not at. So that's what we've been doing, and that's how come we drew the police's attention, sitting in this old pickup truck with a ladder and a tar bucket and asleep with pistols in their lap. It just don't look right.
Right. I'm not a police officer, but I might be slightly suspicious if I come across two guys having a nice nap, both of which are armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
I probably would want to ask them one or two questions.
Oh, yeah. You know, after they did all that, they realized, in fact, the lady who runs the hotel is a very large hotel chain. And once they realized who we were and stuff, she goes, "Didn't I tell you last week that you got to be careful around here, that the police monitor all this stuff here? I'm surprised they didn't trespass you out of here." I said, "Oh, my God, be a little nicer to us. I mean, we got rudely awakened. If you knew it was us, why didn't you say, 'Well, I didn't know it was you. You were in a different truck last time we saw you.'" So the cop said, "Well, if anybody's going to catch him, you probably will be the guys to do it, because you sure enough fooled the hell out of us." And remind me not to do that. They don't like it when you fool them. You know, they don't like that shit at all. Well, I mean, this, it truly, if, you know, I hate to say it, but had this been any other county in Florida, especially maybe Jacksonville, we probably would not be going live to air today. We would probably be up in heaven looking around and saying, "What did we do wrong? And we don't want to do that again."
Right.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad, Simon.
Simon, I still haven't gone back to sleep.
Yeah. I don't know if this little fella ever go back to sleep. He actually is a black man. He turned white, and like I said, he had a bad case of the measles.
They
said, What happened to the white guy? Who's two white guys here? Where'd you come from?
Matthew, are you about ready to change professions?
Actually, that just makes it even better for me.
Oh, he's loving this shit, man.
I'm just glad to say they're professional, and they didn't have a hair trigger finger.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have been in the world of shit, but
like Homer said, any other place, it might have been a different ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been a different ending.
Yeah, particularly in the light of recent events.
Yeah, you know, after we finished the show last week and last Saturday, it was somewhere along in there where this officer was, they're laying him to rest today, by the way, where he was shot and killed here in Tarpon Springs. And that's a good example of what we run into. You know, so many people, so many cartoon characters and so many folks think this is a damn joke of a job, and it's really not. Here's a guy who just got out of prison, and him and his girlfriend were fighting, I guess, and an officer was dispatched to that call, and the guy knew when he saw the officer what that meant, him being a parolee. He opened fire on the officer, one bullet striking him just above his vest. And then the guy, eluding, ran over the officer and then subsequently crashed his car a few blocks later. And he gave a full statement. He goes, "Yeah, I felt like a caged rat. And when he showed up, I knew what that meant." So, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, no remorse, not giving a shit. I say, you know, put him back in the cage like a rat, keep him in there for a while, and then pull him out and give him some of that syrup, you know?
Oh, but doesn't it bother you? I mean, you're hunting down a wanted fugitive, and as I understand it, our good friend Mr. Wilkinson has gang affiliations. His charges include, you know, weapons possession, drugs, etc. And doesn't it marginally bother you that, you know, he might just be packing heat when you come calling?
Oh, there's going to be no definite. There's no question in either Matt's mind or mine that he's definitely packing. We've already been told that he's carrying. What makes matters worse is he uses young girls to traffic and mule for him, and they all have similar charges, including the gun charges, and they are also carrying. You know, They're not carrying any bazookas or anything like that, but they're carrying 9mm and 45s, and what we've been told. So they are armed. He has at least two weapons with him. So we know what we're running into. I mean, we know what we're hunting. But in the process of hunting him in and out of the various hoods, and I don't mean to be sounding racial about that, but that's exactly where we're at in various hoods. And they're not the only ones out here with guns, you know. So everybody in Florida damn near has a gun, especially the thugs that we're running into. So, yeah, it comes with the territory, Simon. I mean, if they all had slingshots and water pistols, I'm sure that everybody would be doing this for a living.
Well, it would just scare the willies out of me, let's put it that way.
Yeah. It only scares us when they open fire on the vehicle when we don't know where the hell the shots are coming from or what the hell is going on. That's the only time we really get nervous. And in fact, now I can add to that, getting woke up with multiple guns in your face and your gun is right there on your lap, and in that split second you decided that you surrender because you believe that these guys are law enforcement officers. I'm just thankful they were, and I was hoping that they were all seasoned enough not to squeeze off on us because, you know, in New York downtown someplace sitting surveillance, and we've done that, it's too easy for them to went ahead and shot us and go, hey, both of them are armed, there's your guns. I mean, we were just another statistic at that moment. So, yeah, it was a very dangerous, it is a very dangerous job. Hell, getting from one point to the other today, Matt and I almost ended up in a head-on collision because, you know, people are still doing shopping or returning stuff to stores. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're driving like crazy-ass maniacs out here, and we're trying to hunt down a guy. So I guess everybody has a mission, and they're on it today.
Okay, we have a caller, area code 904. Hello.
Hey, Simon. How you doing?
Oh, Rod. How good to talk with you. I hope you had a splendid Christmas.
It was really terrible. I had to work. I couldn't be like the big dog. He was home with his girlfriend, and Matt, he's home with his wife. You know, the big dogs, they get to take the day off and make us little puppies work.
Yeah. Actually,
yeah, because you're darker than we are, man.
See, that's the problem. I'm going to pull the race card out now.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show we were talking about, but
I just came in.
All right. Well, looky here, man. Listen to this. The fella that I'm riding beside, you met him. He's a little black fella. Well, this morning, he was a white guy, okay, with measles. And when the police pulled us, I'm serious, dog, when the police pulled us out of the vehicle, they turned to each other and go, where'd that little white guy go? And you know, his color finally came back to him. So we were sleeping, man. We were sleeping in the truck, and both of us had our pistols on our lap. And 10 officers, no less than 10, done put laser lights on us and said, don't move, motherfucker. I'm like, what? Yeah, dog. Yeah, they got us this morning, man. They got us bad, dog. They got us bad. We could have been in heaven, man. If we'd have been in Jacksonville, we'd have been two dead fuckers. Yeah. I was thinking about Ferguson. I was thinking about, he black. No, shit, he white now. They had so many guns on us, long guns too, man. They brought out the AR-15s and everything. And see what happened.
What? Yeah, you called man. In on your guys for them to see gone.
No, here's what happened, though. It's very simple. What happened was we were sitting in the hotel, you know, the hotel parking lot, but we didn't get all our traps set. So we had about an hour and a half to kill. And yesterday we had traveled like 7-8 hours to get back on this shit. And I had already been on some other shit for another bondsman down in Pompano, Deerfield. So I drove all the way up here in the middle of the damn night. So here it is, 2 o'clock in the morning. We got to wait till these boys go to sleep until we can get our rest of our trap line set. So we pulled in the hotel parking lot, and we debated getting a room. I said, hey, the boy getting a room. Let's just sit in the truck for a little bit.
Well, meanwhile, we're sitting in the truck, and this car pulls in, these junkies hit the damn wall in front of us. But we're sitting there, you know, we in this unmarked truck, and we roofers, man. We look like roofers. So that caused us to get our pistols out, put them on our lap. And I covered mine up with a towel. So beside me, I got a damn Uzi with 350 rounds of ammunition. And in fact, I just looked over here, my partner, he got his damn pistol on his lap right now because we're sitting our partner. We over here off of Martin Luther King right now, so at a car wash. So he got his pistol on his lap while we're doing the show. Me, I got my shit tucked under my ass because I want the police. So what happened was this cop, who looked like, and I don't mean to disparage this fella, but, man, one more donut, and he's dead. So he come walking down to see the car, right, to peek in the window, and they had real dark tint. Well, I had my windows down, man, and we just chilling. We in there snoring and shit. And he peeked over in at us, and my towel had done fell off my lap, and he see my nine sitting there. So he backed off and called reinforcements. Oh, yeah, he called reinforcements. And, man, the next thing I hear is, don't move, motherfucker. And I'm like, I look over at Todd like, you said that? And Todd is now a white dude with measles. He got red dots all over his face. And he got to get up. I mean, they got the damn starlights on us.
Just like in a dead sleep, I raised my arms. I didn't even wake up. My arms are already flexed to the top of the roof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If we had a sunroof in this bitch, the fact that we got dents in the roof of this bitch for putting our hands up so high. Yeah. And then they asked a crazy question. How many guns do y'all got? I said, oh, well, there's one there in the door. He goes, holy shit. And then three more cops run to his rescue when he said that, because that was that Uzi with all those. I got like 10 mags magged over here. That's like 40 rounds of mags. So then all of a sudden, Todd says, I got a gun in my waistband. So they ran, two more cops run up to the window real tight on him, and they leaning in the window with their gacks pointed right in his damn head. One of them got a gack in his neck, and they searched him. They pulled him out of the truck, and they pulled him neither one of us out. So they searched him, around him. Okay, I got it. And then the female cop comes up to me, you got any more guns? I said, yeah, I got another one in my pocket. She goes, don't put your hands down, whatever you do. I said, oh, hell no. You can reach it. And I'm thinking, my girlfriend going to be mad as hell because when she feel that shit, because, man, I don't know if I'm happy to see her or just really shit. I don't know. So they can't get the gun off of me. So they bring me out of the vehicle, my hands, finger laced over top of my head, shit. So and they talking to me the whole time. Man, I really appreciate that y'all cooperating. I really appreciate y'all cooperating. I said, hell yeah, with all these damn guns pointing at us, we've been damn fool not to. So then they take two or three more guns off of me, and I said, oh, say what? I said, I got a knife in the pocket over there. They pulled out this damn big old butcher knife. Hot damn, you got anything else? I said, yeah, back in the truck there, I got a shotgun, a taser. Oh, there's a submachine gun back underneath the pillar right there. What the hell are you guys hunting? I said, man, we hunting this Bruce Wilkinson. Man, we know him. He's bad. Y'all hunting him by yourself? Bad guy, we could have killed y'all. I said, no, they wouldn't have went like that. One of us would have got shot, but not both of them. I said, man, it was scary shit, man. But listen, you know, hey, Simon, don't believe him now. We did take off 2 days, and the only way that we was able to do that, and my hat goes off to Palmetto Surety 3 and that man right there. No other bondsman. And I've been in this business 35 years. Rod and I have been in the streets at least 35 or 40 years together. I have never met another bondsman with the integrity and the goodness of this man's heart. We ain't caught this damn fool. This guy, Rod, has come out of his pocket and paid the damn bond on him, paid it. That money just came right out, $35,000 gone. And he asked us what we was going to do for Christmas. I said, man, I don't even know we're going to have a Christmas. We ain't caught this guy. And Rod, Western Union, does $1,000 and said, I appreciate what you're doing. Matter of fact, the Western Union people were so tore up about it, they didn't call me to find out, did I get my money yet? Because they heard we were some really, really, really good guys. They want to make sure we got our money. And it was Christmas Eve. They weren't going to close shit until we got our money. God damn. So
and of course, I called to raise hell that you didn't get the money.
I know, man. Listen, if other bondsmen in America, if you guys are listening to this show, and you general agents and everything, if you had half of the gumption and the goodness in your heart, man, your agents would do shit for you. Hey, Friday morning, now look, we didn't get very much sleep because we had to play with the box the kids came in. Both of us did. So we were playing with the box the kids came in, and then all of a sudden I woke up Friday morning bright and early, and it was time to go again. My girl said, you can leave it. I said, yeah, baby, I got to go. I got to go, and I got some people I got to hunt down because this is what I do. And, of course, Todd's old lady wasn't too happy either.
I'm probably going to get served papers.
Yeah, you're probably going to get papers. But that's okay. I know good. I know good divorce attorney. Shit, the hell with it, man.
No, Todd. You don't want his divorce attorney. He's still paying. No, you don't want him.
Yeah, because I was trying to trick him on that one because I went pro se on that shit. I should have really come out of that. I should have went and got an attorney on that case, and I posed probably through that one. I'm still paying. God,
So, Rod, you've been belly laughing since you called in. You got to admit, Cobra has a good story today.
Simon, Cobra tell you, every day I call him just so I can laugh because the agents drives me so crazy, and I'm out in the field trying to help them recover bad guys, and sometimes I get frustrated with the agent and look at the bonds they write, and I need to call Cobra just so I can get a laugh.
Yeah, that's a true story, man. And I said, hey, man, how bad was your day? So I'm going to pull out the shit. Way out
Hey, Rod, the other good news is if you need it, Cobra and Matt will come over and give you a free roof inspection.
Yeah, man.
As long as they leave those other 10 guys behind, they're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only thing that screwed us up. You know, if I had Rangers, Rod, you've been telling me, hey, leave the Ranger vehicle behind, and y'all go get this guy. Well, I left Ranger over in Naples with my girlfriend. I went and got this old raggedy-ass truck with a damn big-ass ladder and a bucket of tar and some hard hats, and we following these people to their houses, and then when they leave, we pop our ladders up on top of the roof, and we jumping up on the roof, doing a roof inspection. They come running out the house, doing a roof inspection. Didn't your landlord tell you, you got leaks in the, yeah, we got a leak in the bedroom. I go in the bedroom, looking, you know, now we could be like bounty hunters now and kick doors in and shit, but man, these people loving us, man. We do a free roof inspection. And when we get done, just fix it. Oh, hell no. That shit's so bad, you're going to have to call Ornish Corning out here. You need to hold that roof, lady. This shit's all messed up. That's what threw the police is off. Because they ain't never seen no two roofers sleeping in a truck with pistols on their lap before. And I said, hey, our boss man told us to change up. So we did. And now look what happened. See what you got to do in that rock? You almost got shot. You almost got a shot by the fucking police.
Simon, I guess if they wouldn't have had the pistols in their lap or had it tucked under their thigh, it would have been all right.
Yeah.
The donut eater happened to see the towel fall off the lap and expose that nine.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and he made nine into ten.
Let me tell you something. That's
more
conservative. That's right. That's conservative because what I swear to God, these cops didn't have nothing to do because they kept coming. Now, look here. On the other side. You know what I told him, Rod? I said, he cleared me and shit. He says, all right. I said, what about that car over there? Hit that damn wall, man. What about the car? He goes, we're getting to that right now. Now, all of these cops over there like to have picked the car up off the damn ground and pulled him out of the car. And the guy popped off at him. He goes, you damn right I was driving this motherfucker. And I ain't got no damn license. You hear me? I know
what?
They got suspended, like, you know, we're bondsmen knowing, hey, dude, you just talked yourself from a misdemeanor to a fucking felony. And then the cop says, thank you very much. He goes, thank you. I need to arrest somebody after all this shit I've been through. And then the girl pops off. The girl pops off. says, I'm a nurse. Can I be an assistant? And he goes, nurse, and he looked through her purse, and she had a prescription pad in there and all kinds of dope that didn't belong to her. So both of the asses went to jail, and the tow truck company were happy because he was there to tow somebody's shit. And I'm glad it wasn't mine. Oh, hell. And the lady in the hotel, I walked over to say hi to her because she done told me about the shit last weekend that these police love her and they're always right there with her and all this shit. And she come over there, she goes, I'm surprised they haven't banned you from here. I said, you do your customer like that? Oh, that's you? Well, what are you doing in that truck? I said, baby, I went undercover, and look what the hell happened. I told you. Now kick gravels and get the hell out of here, she said.
She said, kick rocks.
She said, kick rocks.
What? Get out of here.
He goes, kick rocks, and we kick rocks and got the hell out of there, man. He says, don't be using my damn saying and my expression. But we got the hell out of there because all these cops was her friends, man. She put them on us, man. She must have walked out there. I don't think Donut Boy called us. I think she called us. She's probably coming out to see Todd because she kind of sweet on Todd. And I think when she seen that pistol, she said, oh, that's a little more than I bargained for. I'm calling the police. Yeah. God damn it.
So Todd was going to take one for the team, but he had the other pistol showing,
Yeah. And you know what? I come to realize right there, first thing I said to Todd, I said, I'm calling Rod tomorrow and tell him I need a new fucking partner. No joke. I almost need one for real. Get us killed out here fucking around with this shit. And we ain't leaving. Hey, if we had Ranger with us, them some bitch wouldn't never snuck up on us, man. They wouldn't have got close to us, man. But, man, Ranger's over there chilling at my girl's house, and she's sending me pictures, and he all up in the bed, my bed, laying there all crazy and shit, like, you know, man, I see this. And he got his little harem going. All right, we're going to go mobile again. We're going mobile. We're talking, but we got to go to the mall now because somebody over at the mall wants to see us. Yeah. You know we doing, Rod. We following, man. We following, boy. Hot damn, we got it going on, buddy.
I like that, brother. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a whole box of goodies out here waiting on people. I got remote cameras set up and shit, man. People ask me today, hey, man, I was feeding the seagulls, having a beautiful time feeding the seagulls. Man, y'all going to blow your cover doing that? I said, you dumbass, you think we ain't. This is 2015, man. We got remote cameras set up. We ain't out here following these dudes around like y'all doing. We get on them. We know intersections they're going to cross at a given time, and we just turn the camera on. That shit you saw on TV, enemy of the state. Well, we friends of the state, so you might as well.
Hey, Cobra, at least you got to look on the bright side. You're still alive, and you didn't end up in jail.
Let me tell you something, Simon. I'm living from now on. My 2015, man, I'm living like I just was born. Man, I'm telling you what, because Rod will tell you, that shit could have been ugly quick. Cause this
real quick.
One boy right here, I said, thank you, Jesus, because this one boy right here was not playing. He was not playing.
All it took is one gunhole officer.
That's it. That's all. You see, Fat Boy, I shouldn't call him that, but, you know, he was a pretty big little feller. He was a donut sniffer, and damn it, we got a box of donuts in the truck. That probably gave us away. That probably what brought him over there. Dunkin' Donuts gave us a half a dozen donuts. So we got the whole box sitting right here on the damn dashboard. The windows was open. That's what it was, Todd. I'm sorry, man. It was the fucking donuts, baby. Yeah, it's on your side. That's why they all came to your side. The only one cop was on my side until they started firing the gun. And then the shit was on. Damn. Oh, my God. Rod, I'm about to shit, though, man. I'm telling you.
So they didn't ask y'all that y'all have concealed weapon permits or who you were. They didn't ask any of that stuff.
Give a rat's ass. I volunteered my shit. They didn't ask Rod. They didn't ask Todd for no identification whatsoever. They asked to see my driver's license. I gave my driver's license because my tags don't match who I am. I told them my name. They said, well, that tag ain't coming back to you. I said, I know it ain't. I stole that truck yesterday, damn it. But you It's stolen out of Martin County. But yeah, that's right. That's, I did that. But shit. Then I said, well, I'm a bondsman. You see my bond identification? And he looked at it real quick. He couldn't have read shit. He goes, all right. I said, here my open carry. Get my permit for the machine gun and shit. He goes, that's all right. You're good. You're good. They clear. Somebody's nervous. He handed all my guns back. Sorry to disrespect you like that. I said, man, that's, you know what? I'd have done the same shit if it had been me. Yeah.
Hey, Rod, you've had many years of experience. Have you ever had any close encounters with the police?
I've had many close encounters, but none like that.
Yeah.
And besides, I sleep with my gun under my thigh where the handle is pointing at the steering wheel where I can grab it quick.
That's a brother thing. It's sitting up in his nutsack. That's how Todd's carrying his. Me, I'm carrying my shit right there where I can get through the whole thing. I got it and I fell asleep.
It's just that I look for things like that. It's not the police I look for. Hell, I want to beat the crook to it. You know, most crooks, when they walk up to you, they got the gun on you. They don't look down at your thigh. They look at your chest and your waist. And by that time, while he got his gun on me, shit, I can pull mine. or at the time he tell you to get out the car so he can take it, oh, I'd be more than happy to get out the car. I got to open the door, so that means you got to back up, and you're going to be more relaxed backing up.
Well spoken, brother.
I'm gonna give you a cool heart one right to the head and the chest.
Yeah.
I gotta hit you in the head for being so fucking dumb.
Yeah. He ain't been probably in that hot of a situation. But hell, Rod and I rode in the back of more police cars, and by God, probably half the people you know, Tess Simon. Shit.
Oh, that's for true.
Yeah.
From Maine to Key West, over to Texas, to California. That's true.
Yeah.
people be wondering how I became a bondsman.
Yeah. I compliment him. You know, I said, damn, officer, you sure do have a nice, clean automobile. I rode in something that was real shitty. Had the spare tire in here. Smell like crap. You got a real nice, clean vehicle, man. I really... And they're like, you think so? I said, yes, sir. I rode a bunch of them. Really, you have? Who did you pick up? Nothing. But I've been riding in a bunch of these, man. I think they just like to try me out in the back seat, see if I fit.
Man, you know the one I like the most? We was in Birmingham, Alabama. And we went to a little small town outside, about 30 miles outside of Birmingham, or maybe an hour, 45 minutes. I can't think of the name right now, but we became friends with the police officers there. And we were there for about a week. And do you know we would end up driving the police cars every day instead of wasting our gas? They gave us a car.
I'll be damned.
Gave us a marked police car.
I'd be damned. I know you got it like that.
I was shocked when the sheriff asked us if we want one. I'm like, hell yeah.
Well, me, I got a chance to drive one for a while, but I didn't really have nobody's permission to drive it. But the keys was in it.
Well, I shouldn't say sheriff. I shouldn't say sheriff because it wasn't the county. It was the chief of police because it was that little small city.
Yeah.
And, He gave us a police car to drive, and we're talking it at the hotel and everything. With the hotel right in here, and come to find out, we never got the guy. But they called us about a month later and told us they got the guy for us and what to do with him. I told him lock his ass up and notify Texas that you got him because the bomb was out of Texas, and send me the information, and I notified the insurance company, and it was a done deal.
Beautiful, man.
Wow.
You know, more of them like ought to be like that, man. You know, because all we trying to do is help them. You know, but see, what a lot of them get pissed off at is to blame me for bonding the Ducker out of jail. You've done bonded him out of jail, and now you want us to help you get him back. I didn't bond nobody out of jail, brother. I'm just hunting him for somebody else.
You know, that was the most wonderful thing about it, Colbert, is that they understood our job, and
yeah.
and they appreciated us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like an extra car on the road, really, you know?
Yeah.
And the chief had no problem in giving us a car to drive because it's like giving us, he had two extra cars on the road.
Yeah.
Each one of us had a patrol car.
You brought up a very important part. And, you know, that's why Simon put together this thing here, America's Most Unwanted. And, you know, we have some fun and we've got a little bit of slack time right now because we can't get our full panel together because, you know, people busy going, you know, over here, Christmas shopping, spending Christmas. Oh, no, I can't talk about that this weekend. Mama get mad at me. You know, first of the year, we're going to hit pretrial. We're going to do this because it's all about educating ourselves, educating our fellow bondsmen, educating the powers to be. You know, I've really had the opportunity to meet with your boss man, Mr. Scott Willis, over to the Christmas party, and boy, did he put on a nice spread. And, you know, he said some very valuable things there at that party where he was talking about it's about education. You know, if you bondsmen have a problem out there, I don't care what state you're in, and you have something don't look quite right at the jail or with pre-trial or something, turn it over to us. We have one of the largest law firms in America that we will get some answers and we'll find out. And, you know, we ain't trying to whoop up on nobody. What we're trying to do is we're trying to educate the judges, the new prosecutors, and everybody as to what it is that we do in the big clog on this big wheel that spins around that's called the justice system. I mean, he forevermore put out a speech now, and I really, really was, you know, I was kind of like, wow, why can't all presidents now, and first of all, I ain't never met one before, been in this business 40 years, ain't never met a president of an insurance company until your birthday, until your Christmas party or their Christmas party just last week. And I'm like, wow. I like that. I like that, brother. I like the way you all ride, man. I like the way that you act. In fact, the attorney, a well-versed attorney, and I think, Simon, you had an opportunity to speak to the little feller. He out of Miami, and boy, he's got a serious passion for the bail bond industry and keeping commercial bail working for America as a whole. I mean, wow, these guys right here just tickles my heart to be there. And then I got a chance to run off with a bunch of candy. Man, I must have smuggled 25 pounds of chocolate kisses out of there. They had too much candy. I knew they had too much candy, so I went and got a garbage bag and filled that shit up and took off.
there does, however, seem to be a move afoot by some, well, primarily politicians, to get rid of commercial bail. Where the idea comes from, or the funding comes from, absolutely beats the living shit out of my brain. I was reading an article earlier this morning, a story out of Sacramento about the infamous Prop 47 that we've talked about before. Can't find the story right this moment, but one bail bond company is claiming that December has seen a 37% drop in business, you know, because of Prop 47 and things being classed as misdemeanors rather than felonies.
Yep.
But, you know, someone's got to pay. You know, I just personally don't buy into pre-trial release, but hey, you know, maybe you guys do.
No, I
love pretrial. It's one of the most greatest things ever since sliced bread. You know, my name is Wayne Spatz. I love it. What I can't understand is how can someone fight pretrial all these years and then when he get his friend get elected to office, all of a sudden he's in love with pretrial. I don't understand. Please help me. Someone reach out and touch me and let me understand.
It's called money. It's called making money off the backs of what we stood for so long. It's called politician. Now, when I first think of the word politician, I don't think about something good coming. I think about, oh, hell no, there's another hand in my pocket now.
Well, we can talk about it and laugh about it, but the problem is the man is moving up in the world, and he's making money, and he's laughing at our dumb ass.
Yeah, and guess what? There's an old saying among us, the timers out here. Now, I'm getting to that point, but I'm not there yet. I'm probably about 30 years off of it. But, Rod, I've learned over the course of my life, you either outweigh them or outlive them. And considering the age difference between me and that fella right there, I'm going to outlive them. And we definitely outweigh them. And the thing of it is, you know, I agree with you. Somebody that fought so hard to get pretrial the hell out of the damn system and, you know, put it to what it was originally set up to do. And on the best day, it didn't work real good then. But now to have it to where they're tricking these bondsmen into writing a bail bond right alongside pretrial. And, you know, I did a little survey in the past month. In fact, Matt joined me on it. And we went into bondsman's office and said, how do you like what they're doing in pretrial? They're allowing you to write a bond on top of the pretrial. Oh, love it, man. It's a beautiful thing. Man, we're making money. I said, well, enjoy that for about another year or two. And then there will be no more commercial bail if you keep letting this get out of check. Now, it's one or the other.
They didn't understand that because they were sold a bill of goods by how good pretrial and bond works together.
Right, right. They have no
idea.
All right, but I mean, this is where the whole story falls apart. That they're fundamentally different things, and joining them together can only serve one purpose, and that's to make pretrial stats look glowing.
Exactly.
That's all they do. The part
that I don't get is that we got some very intelligent bail bondsmen out here in the United States. I mean, we got bail bondsmen with doctor degrees and masters, and we've got some very educated bondsmen. The part that I don't get, they allow these associations and propaganda and bullshit to influence their mind from reading the actual law as it sits in whatever state in which it's in front of. They go by. Let's take a pretrial and put it with a bond that allows us to make money. Hell, that allows us out of business because of the reason if a person skips, pretrial is not going to go after them. We are. And once we go after them and catch them, guess what? Our stats don't move, but pretrial stats go up because they went and caught this person that you went and got.
Right. Hey, I'll tell you what, can you just hold on or chat amongst yourselves for 2 minutes? I've got someone banging on the door, and I hope to God it's not a bail bondsman.
Okay.
Hold on.
Shit. He opened up the door, and there's damn police out there. Going, what the hell are you, what kind of operation y'all running here anyway? I heard that cover.
You know, Cobra, that's the problem that we're having is that every time you look around and like you guys went in and talked with the bondsmen, and they so much in agreement with this here, they not understanding what's really the big picture here is that that is the one that's going to run you out of business. You are the one creating snacks for them. You are the one reminding your people of court. Preach, all they got to do is sit back and let you do the work. Let you do all the work while they sit back and get all the glory, because two things going to happen. One, if they skip court, you got to go get them. The next thing going to happen, you're going to remind them of court. So either way, that's a win-win for them.
That's right.
It's a win-win. You're going to call them for court. You're going to make sure they show up to court. You're going to monitor their court. Hell, pre-trial, all they got to do is write the paperwork and charge them a fee. And why can't we charge a fee? Why do they get to be the one to charge a fee for being on pre-trial? What we charge is a state-mandated fee. Hell, that should be illegal for pre-trial to charge a fee if taxpayers is paying for it. I don't see that being right.
Yeah. Well, and I don't understand it being constitutionally fair to the defendant, because now he's paying double. He's getting double dipped upon. And, you know, we are taking him out on bond, and pretrial is taking him out on pretrial, and then pretrial is treating them as if they've already been convicted of the crime with weekly check-in, piss tests, and all that. I mean, how come we don't get to piss test them? And how come we can't just slap bracelets on them, charge taxpayers for the bracelet, and if the bracelet gets destroyed, oh, well, taxpayer, you got to pay for that too. So I just don't understand it, Rod. I don't understand it, and, you know, I'm gonna diligently seek to try to understand it.
Okay, I'm back. It was someone looking for someone who doesn't live here.
sounds like a bounty hunter.
Yeah, right. They didn't even offer a free roof inspection.
Oh, damn bastards. See, that should be, it'd be catching on next week. But see, somebody showed up looking for somebody who don't live there no more. So either they're a bill collector or a bounty hunter, or if they was the police, they had to tell you they're the police.
Well, yeah. Clip. That's so funny you said that. We bundled a guy out of jail. And he said, man, I need to find out who I report this to. I'm like, report what? Man, the girl didn't tell me she was a police, man. I asked her, was she a police? And she told me no. So she lied to me. I bust out laughing. For real? She lied to you? Not the police? Man, get out of here with that. The police don't lie. Are you kidding me? Not the police.
Sound like a prostitution bond. Was that what it was?
That's exactly what it was. He went in there and went on Backspace or something, and some kind of back foolishness. And
Backpage.
And when they got him a lovely, lovely. Hold on a minute.
Todd says he think it's called Backpage. But we really ain't sure what it's actually called. And the only reason I know what it is, because I've been tracking some fugitives on that back page.
Hey, here it is. He gets to the hotel where she at, and come to find out, he asked, hey, you the police? He said, no, I ain't the police. Police is just adjoining room. And I'm like, didn't that give you a hint when you see that door crack? That the lock wasn't on that door, that somebody gonna bust through that door? I mean, that didn't give you a hint.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
She didn't take off her clothes before you said anything. You should have asked her to get butt naked before you even made a deal with her. At least you would have got something out of it. At least you would have said, man, I seen her cat.
You know, there's a book in all of this. a very funny book. one of these days we should all put our heads together and write it.
Well, I got holy shit, what you got going on, Rod? They sound like they're killing each other.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't tell nobody.
Hey, man, you know, we sitting at a Thornton's gas station, man, and we watching dope deals going down while we talking about people doing stupid shit. And the guys bringing the dope is parking at the bank next door and walking up to the bushes. And I ain't never heard no bank like that. A Synovus bank? I ain't even heard no bank like that. And they handing it through the damn bush, and then the dude jump on a motorcycle and take off. I don't know if he got his shit or not. But
okay.
A moped, yeah. These drug dealers riding mopeds over here, man. God damn.
Oh, I used to watch crack dealers on the corner of a place I worked, and it was amazing. You know, money would change hands, a quick cell phone text message, guy on a bicycle would ride up and you know, drop off a baggie, and they'd repeat this like every 15 minutes, and the cops just didn't seem to really care. Yeah, you know, it's just the crack dealers. You know, let them get on with it.
So how long was you on that corner?
Actually, my office was on the sixth floor, and I could watch the activity out the window. It was perfectly harmless.
Oh, that don't sound right, Sam. It sounded like you was involved with it, because you were telling all the good stuff, like what they said and everything. Oh, I don't know, Simon. You kind of put yourself out there.
I was thinking maybe he,
ouch,
maybe he said he worked in the corner. I thought maybe he was like being a prostitute or something. I didn't know what was going on, Simon. But he on the sixth floor. Hell, he had a bird's eye view. Hey, you know, there's some lucky crackheads that was dealing in that corner. Because I remember when I first met Simon, he told me of a story. He got pissed off. It was in the wintertime. He got pissed off and started chunking computers out the damn window. And everything was good. He just went and got another computer, but he done chunked them computers out the window. And then one day he realized the error of his ways when the sun, summertime came and melted all the damn snow and all over the yards, all these damn computers.
that was a bitch. I hated it. I tried to resolve the problem by just not cutting the grass. And it got to be about 18 inches high. It was definitely time to cut it before the city gave me a ticket. Yeah.
Could you imagine that shit, Rod? You walking by a building trying to sling a little dope, and a freaking computer come flying at you from six stories up.
I would imagine that right now. I'm like, oh my God, is God trying to talk to me? I think I need to get off this corner.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Go to school to educate yourself, or otherwise more computers will come flying at your ass. Oh, my God. Simon, I told you, man, we have fun just having fun about having fun. And, you know, I just really like the fact that this year, 2014, I had met up with some good people, and one of them being Rod. I mean, I've known Rod for many years, but we were never like brothers like that. And you know what? It's an honor and a privilege, and I can't wait to see what 2015 brings for all of us, because everything has the potential of just getting better, because it's all about relationships. It's all about networking. It's all about informing and educating yourself. And we got a good grassroots center for doing that. And I don't think we're going to have another show until next year, unless I read my calendar wrong. What do you think, Simon?
It will indeed be next year. And I'm hoping that, I can rustle up some guests for us. I would really like the attorney, I've forgotten his name, Bruce something or other.
Bruce Wright. Yep.
Yeah. He's a very interesting man.
And Scott Willett.
Yeah. That would be one great program. And I'm looking at the clock. We're flat out of time. So I want to thank you all for taking part today. If nothing else, we all had a good chuckle. Matt, any last comments for us today?
I'm alive right now, so everything's good. It can't get any better. That's all.
Remember, don't go to sleep with a gun on your lap.
Yeah. I'm going to write that in the rule book. I appreciate you, Simon. I appreciate everything that you've done for us this past year. I hope that next year that the blessings continue and that we continue to, forward the education that we're giving available to these bondsmen. And I just hope that we all just get together and pull it together and protect this industry. It's a great industry. We do a good thing for folks, and I appreciate you being a part of it, Simon.
And Rod, I do hope that you'll continue to join us.
Well, Simon, like I said in the beginning, I'm happy to be here with everyone. And for the people that's listening, 2015 is going to be a great year for Surety 3 and Palmetto Surety. I would suggest you get on board and get some of this paper, because one thing for sure, your GA or insurance company is not going to give you the benefits that we're giving you. That's all I got to say. You're not going to get it. They're going to tell you, they're giving it to you, just wait a minute. How long is a minute? I think it's 60 seconds.
but not necessarily.
Yeah, could be.
Well, I got a woman in Jacksonville right now told me that her GA told her not to come with us because he's going to give her the same benefits that we offered. We told her that last year in 2013. We're in 15 now in a couple of more days, and she still don't have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Cobra,
yes, sir.
Do you have a last word for us?
I just I thank you, Simon, and I appreciate all the men and women that put their lives on the line, from police officers all the way down to bondsmen. And I just pray that next year we come together a little bit more tight fit unit. And I just appreciate everything that you do. And I just tell everybody I appreciate them, and I'll see them next year. Hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, and we don't fall asleep, close our eyes no more.
Okay, well, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again next Saturday with another edition of America's Most Wanted. Until then, goodbye.